All right, so what we thought we'd do is, so I invited Matt to come with us, and one of the things that I learned a long time ago out working on the field is you have to replace yourself. And you should, so whatever you're doing, you should be passing on to the next generation of whoever's there to replace you. And so we're very big on that we're training the next generation to understand their own identity. We're going to talk a little bit more about this later tonight and talk about teams, but training the next generation to understand their identity and to hear from God. Once they get that, then you pay a lot of attention to what they come up with, because it's quite beautiful and brilliant. So actually, Paul suggested we do this, and I totally agree. So I just asked Matt if he would come up here and just say, tell a little bit about himself and what he's doing. And I asked him to share a little bit about his process of how he hears God, and him and his wife, Matt, come on up.
Thanks for giving me time to prepare. I appreciate it. So my wife and I have been married for almost 4 years. So we got married in 2015, and right when we got married was about the time I was exposed to this idea of hearing from God, which was brand new to me. For me, I didn't grow up in the church. My wife did. That hasn't been a huge tension for us. It's actually been really beautiful. So it wasn't an idea that I had to wrestle with too much, but I'm a practical guy. So when it comes down to the process and how does this work and how does this, what does this mean for everyday life? I wanted to invest in that and figure that out. So Jamie talked about what you learned identity from a nurse when you're in the hospital. So I guess that kind of makes you my nurse. Thanks.
Yeah.
I met Jamie and his wife Donna. I was fortunate enough to meet them about 3 years ago. And so he really helped. He was really a catalyst in my life for this idea of, having a Christ-centered identity and being able to live out of that freely into the life and freedom that Jesus does offer us. So that being said, I think when we were going around doing the meet and greet with the points on the sheet, if anyone talked to me, my answer was that I'm not afraid to leave a job. And it was kind of a joke, but it's also happened about 3 times since my wife and I have been married. I've left 2 jobs, not recklessly, but, and she's left 1. And so when I first started asking God questions and taking the time to listen, one of the first things that I felt like he asked me to do was to step away from the position that I was in, I was in surgical sales, medical device sales. And I was in a good position. I could have stayed there and made a lot of money, and my family would have been just fine. And not growing up, not just without God, really, but I had great parents, but my dad has a financial background. So you don't leave a job without having one lined up. You just don't do that. So I had to work through a ton of fear, one, to tell my parents. and at the time, actually, so we owned our condo that we're in. We have a condo. And because a large portion of my income was commission, I had to have somebody co-sign my mortgage, which was my dad, because I didn't have 2 years of stable commission to show. So that's just how it works. And so he's on, my dad's name is on my mortgage, not my wife's, my dad's. And she didn't have the credit for it at the time. And we went over to dinner to their house. And I waited for my brothers to leave. And I waited another 10 minutes after that, and I just didn't know what to say. The thing was, I asked the Lord what to do up to that point, which was, he said, I want you to leave. I want you to trust me. I want you to step away from this position. But I didn't have the wisdom to ask him how to present this to my parents. So I just blurted it out. I just said, they don't have the context for Jesus or God, especially hearing from God. And I just said, so Sarah and I feel like God's asking me to leave my job. And they didn't say a word. There was literally 5 minutes of silence. They didn't say one word. And we just stood up and left. And So that was a learning experience for me. which we're still working through to this day. But I'm going to back up just a sec. Jamie's a huge part of this for me. There's another guy, maybe some of you know since you guys are in Vancouver. There's a guy named Steve Piedermeyer. Does anybody know who that is? Okay, that's all right. He was largely involved in Young Life for a very long time. He's about 66 years old. Got into real estate and deeply impacted the Portland community and my life. I met him at the same time that I met Jamie. And Steve and I live, about 15 minutes away from that. So after this retreat, which was where I met the Winships, I was at the Washington Family Ranch in Eastern Oregon. I got together with Steve. So he really helped me flesh some of this out. He was the first guy that prayed with me and that took the time to help me work through some of this stuff. And I'm just going to share what the Lord took me through, because I have nothing else to share. I'm not a theologian. I don't have anything else. So what happened was, the first thing that came up for me when I was in the fifth grade, that was about the time when we started to try out for basketball teams. And you would make the team or you wouldn't. There's an A team, there's a B team. I made the team every year, but I think it was in fourth grade. And that's the thing about these memories that the Lord's brought me to. Like, I have pretty specific circumstances, but I can't tell you every exact detail. I don't know if it was in fourth or fifth grade. But I was a young kid. I struggled with confidence already. I wasn't getting a lot of playing time that year. And I remember going up to my coach. And it took a lot for me to, my dad said, if you want to ask him, you need to go up and ask him yourself. Like, you need to confront him. And so I went up to my coach and I said, clearly I'm not playing this year. What do I need to do to get playing time? And I don't know his exact response, but it was something to the effect of, you just don't have what it takes. It's not going to happen this year. And I hadn't thought about that since it happened. And I'm sitting there in Steve's office and I just fell apart. It was clearly from the Lord. I had not thought about that since I was, fourth grade. I took on a perception of myself as unworthy, not good enough, fear of failure. A lot of that stuff, which played out in athletics, even later in life, it didn't really stop there. But I took on those beliefs God's telling me from that time. And so, in part of the way that I've heard Jamie and Donna teach on this, there's different learning styles. We all learn differently. Some of us are visual learners. Some of us are more auditory learners. Some of us are, call it more kinesthetic, so having a sense. So understanding those different learning styles has really helped me to understand how God speaks to me personally. And it's taken me a while. Auditory is the one that really resonates with me. I am a visual guy too, and we have imaginations for a reason. So I use that, but we have the mind of Christ, and it took months for that to really sink in with me. That I have the mind of Christ, I have the power to silence and shut down the voice of the enemy like Jimmy was doing up here, and that works. That's not just a thing that I say, and it's not a magic trick. That's the power of the kingdom. In me, the Holy Spirit lives in me. And so to do that and then to believe and to know that I have God thoughts and that I'm connected to the Lord and that I can hear his thoughts and my thoughts. And that's how I hear from God primarily, is learning to trust those thoughts. And then that's fleshed out through telling my wife and talking about that with her in community. We have communities of people in Portland. And if you guys are ever interested in seeing what that's like, we have listening communities. A lot of them, Jamie and Donna, helped start, but all around the city where we just get together and listen to the Lord and share what we feel like we're hearing. It really gives us a chance to pray through the fear and everything that we're talking about this weekend and just stay out of a place of being stuck and feeling paralyzed and not being able to move because we're scared of something. That's my process of hearing from the Lord. So I left that job, surgical sales. I didn't work for 3 months, and my wife continued to work. That was really hard for me to not, we don't have kids, but that's our family unit, it's me and my wife. So to not be the main provider and not have an income coming in that was mine, that was providing for us, was very difficult. And the Lord rewired a lot of things in my thought process in that first month. That first month was hard. And what I ended up doing, it took me 3 weeks to get to the point. I guess I should have said that. I prayed the same prayer for 3 weeks. God, what do you want me to know? And every time he would say, I want you to trust me, and I want you to step away from this job, and I wanted a different answer, and I didn't get it. So anyways, I finally got the courage through a lot of support and affirmation that I was hearing God correctly to do that very thing. I left the job that first month. I ended up taking a shotgun approach for jobs because I needed to do something. I just felt like I needed to do something. And it was a pretty transferable, it was a good job, and I just got nothing. And the two interviews I did get, I didn't get. I mean, it was just like a flat line. I got no interest. And I finally came to the point where I was like, okay, like, this isn't working, and I need to, I was able to come to the place of just trusting that I had heard the Lord correctly, I had done what he had asked. And the following 2 months were the most spiritually rich 2 months of my life, and really set a new tone for Savannah and I's marriage and the way that we just day-to-day experience Jesus in a conversational, you know, relationship where I came and again, not going up in the church and not ever being in like in vocational ministry of any kind. I've always had, you know, a corporate job. I'm in sales and I work with doctors, and through a lot of training and a lot of help from people like Paul and Jamie, being able to take what we're learning, what we're all learning here, into a corporate setting with doctors and help them. I mean, I've become more of a consultant to them. It's out of the scope of what I'm supposed to do. It's just crazy what God will do. And I help them identify points of conflict in their offices, which are all based around fear. They're making decisions based out of fear, and usually it's financial or related to money. And I've been able to, you know, through hearing the Lord, they don't necessarily know, because we talk about truth and light and love sometimes. Some of them know the Lord, and I'm able to have put a little more context to it. But it's just amazing what this tool and this type of relationship with God has been, what he's just allowed me to do in the job that he's given me. Sorry, I know this is a little all over the place. I'm trying my best. A month after I got the job that I have now, so I've been in this job for a little over 2 years, and we can talk more about this later if anyone wants to hear more. There's not a ton more, but the lead recruiter for the FBI out of Portland contacted me and asked about my interest in being a special agent. And I was like, that kind of stuff doesn't happen to, I'm just like, who the heck am I? I don't have a law enforcement background, ready to graduate college. Why are you coming to me? And like, how do you know who I am? That was kind of my question. And my neighbor worked for the FBI, and I didn't really know my neighbor. And I had gotten to know him a little bit, and he saw something in me, and he told this person that he works with, who happened to be the lead recruiter, and she contacts me. And I just lit up like I had never lit up before. I remember going home, shaking Savannah, my wife. She was taking a nap. I scared the heck out of her. And just telling her everything that had happened. I think at the time we were watching some ridiculous show called, not ridiculous, it's pretty good. It's called Quantico. It was totally about the FBI. We were watching this series. We were like 2 seasons deep, and this is happening to me. And I'm like, you know, is this a dream? Like, it wasn't. And then through that process, I just got in this job, get recruited by the FBI. Don't really, like, I'm just in a, you know, a tailspin. I don't know what the heck's going on, but I'm excited. And for once, I feel like I'm moving in the right direction. And it all has to do from hearing the Lord. Like, none of this stuff would have ever happened. And again, he said, what I felt like God said to me, and what Savannah and I came to, is he was saying, you're excited for the right reasons. Like, you're on the right track. He calls me. One of my main identities, one of the first identities that I ever heard from the Lord, was Mighty Warrior. A lot of that was, I think, because I lacked confidence. So that's kind of how I feel like he addresses me when I talk with him and converse with him. He says, you're on the right path. You're moving in the right direction. but don't take that job. Like, you're moving in the right direction, but don't do that. Like, it's too small. I thought it was the biggest thing that had ever happened to me, because it was. And he said, it's too small. And it didn't work out for some other reasons. And it's like, okay, we'll let it go. And we let it go. And then 2 weeks later, I'm driving on the way to see a sales client. And the thought goes through my head, which I've never had, well, why a law school? Like, you should apply to law school. You should be an attorney. And that, like, that's not me. I've never once thought about being an attorney. I've never thought about pursuing that. And as of 2 days before this conference, I had submitted 10 law applications. It took me a little over a year to, like, prep for the LSAT, take the LSAT, all this stuff the Lord's leading me through the whole time. He gave me a strategy on how to prepare for that test. And everything. I'm waiting to hear back from schools right now. And all of this has to do, it's from hearing God, from having a conversational relationship with God that's new to me within the last 3.5-ish years. And it has flipped my marriage and my life on its head. And it's taken me to places already that I just didn't even think were possible. And I know that we're just at the tip of the iceberg. And the community in Portland that we are, you know, blessed to be a part of, there's a lot of people doing this and that are experiencing the same types of things. And there's just a new, like, life, like, you know, life that is truly, like, people really experiencing something new and fresh, and Jesus is up to something big. And I think that's all I'm going to share.